Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and I have the pleasure of introducing to you today, Balaji Padmanabhan. Balaji is a transformational leader with over 20 years of comprehensive experience in manufacturing, supply chain, capital projects, food safety, quality, environmental health and safety, and continuous improvement. And he's experienced in end-to-end supply chain operation solutions within North America and Asia Pacific regions. He has a wide range of experience in food and beverage, specialty chemicals, and the process industry. And he's had various roles from VP of operations with Givaudan, both in North America and Asia, operational effectiveness consultancy at McKinsey, and operational effectiveness leadership positions at Becton Dickinson. He has a bachelor's in textile technology and a master's in fiber science and technology from the Indian Institute of Technology and an MBA in business management from INSEAD. Balaji, I am so much looking forward to having this conversation with you because, you know, all the while in all of your experience, you are a role model, I would say, in the area of servant leadership and continuous improvement. And that's why I think it's going to be a valuable conversation. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Deb. And it's great to be here and good talking to you again after a few years.
Okay. So this will be fantastic. So for my listeners here, just to give you some context, I've had the great opportunity of having worked with Balaji in a number of roles, both in operational excellence as quality and continuous improvement. And there's a couple of things along the way that really stood out for me. So he was just a great person to be able to come together with opportunities or questions or how best to approach a situation. One of the things that I remember from him is he was at his best standing in front of a whiteboard and drawing circles or squares or showing the linkages between critical parts of strategic thinking, and all the while simply being a coach and teacher. And when you left his office, you always had answers in somehow what you were going to do and move forward, and he had your back along the way. So that's why I wanted to bring him on the show and share some of these insights. So you want to get down to it?
Thank you. Thanks for that introduction, Deb.
So anyway, so when we think about your experience, I was wanting to share a little bit more about your business journey and the work that you've done and how have you come to arrive to where you are at in your leadership, where strategic thinking, coaching, and servant leadership is such a big part of what you do and who you are.
That's an interesting question. If I think back at my working career, I've always been thrust into opportunities about which I knew very little. My first leadership opportunity came when this was my first organization that I joined. I was 2 years out of my master's program working for a textile company, and I had a staff function working on projects. And all of a sudden, while working on a project with a team, several key members of the team left, and I got the opportunity to become a team leader of that project, which was basically setting up a greenfield facility for this company that I was working for. And we were at the final finishing stages of that project, and then I was asked to run the day-to-day operations of this plant. So here I was, I think I was 26 or 27, never had any leadership experience of leading people. And all of a sudden, I was head of a plant of 100 people. My first question was, wow, am I up to it? Or should I even accept this role? But as it always happens, you always think, hey, okay, why don't we give it a try? What do I have to lose here? That's kind of the start of my leadership journey. What I learned at that time was that my first question was, how can I be relevant to my team? And that was the starting point of the leadership journey. I had the fortune I didn't have any baggage walking into this role. So there was no preconceived ideas about leadership. So I was just there in front of four or five very experienced people that I was managing. And my first question was, how am I going to prove my worth to them? And that, in a sense, is the kind of the foundation of servant leadership. Putting yourself in a position and say, what is it that I'm going to bring to you? What is it that I'm going to be bringing to the team? Why should you be led by me? And that's kind of the starting point of this journey. The second time this happened to me was when I came to Givaudan, where from consulting, I made a transition to running a large region. So again, so I had this experience of leading one site, 100 people, and all of a sudden in Givaudan is leading the Asia-Pac team. I had 800 people in the organization across multiple sites. So this was my second moment getting into a new industry and walking into a situation where, once again, I had to show to the team why they should be led by me. So that's kind of defines who I am as a leader. And I've kind of built up my leadership brand around that.
So that's really an interesting place to be starting. Why should they be led by me? So I'm very curious whether it's your first experience or the one where you came to Givaudan. What was it then that brought you into whatever it was, the trust, people to follow you, bringing teams together? So you start with this point of not doubt, but how can I best serve this group and how can I gain their respect and then be able to lead and serve them? So what is it that you did initially to try to find your way and ultimately become the leader for an 800 person organization?
So I think if you go back to this question, why should anybody be led by you? Then automatically the whole question of leadership becomes a relationship. To me, leadership is not one directional. This is not about having the positional power and dictating to the team what is it that they need to do. Leadership is a lot about what is the interaction, what is it that I bring to the table. In the end, the goal of the organization is to achieve the business results. So if you have to achieve the business results, what am I bringing to the table? And how do I help my team be successful? So together, we achieve the business results.
So I'm curious, going back a little bit, maybe getting a little bit more specific, when we think about what can I bring to the table, through this process with your first experience at Givaudan, what was it that you did discover made you relevant and why you should leave this particular group of people? What was the thing that you could bring to this team?
My experience in Givaudan was probably a lot easier than my first role in the textile company back in India. So let me start from there and then I can come to Givaudan experience. Now, when I came to Givaudan, I already had worked for 15, 10, 12 years. So I had something to offer, and having worked for a world-class consulting organization, there was a certain problem-solving skills and skill sets that I had that I could bring to the table. But when I started off with this textile company, you know, I was just 2 years out of my master's program, and I had very little by way of experience to offer to anybody. And here was a team which was in the business for many, many years ahead of me. So as I started thinking, my first question was, what is the area where I can distinguish myself with respect to the team? And I realized that their experience was they were all coming from a certain background of working with a certain type of material. And here we were working with a different type of material. So I started developing my expertise in trying to understand how to source or how to buy the right type of material. So I found a gap in the team, or I found a gap in our knowledge as a team, and tried to plug that gap. And that's how I started to become relevant for them.
If I could just add to that, that's such a relevant thing, because sometimes we think as a leader, we need to know more of what the others have. Here, you're trying to understand what makes you relevant and what you can bring to the team. And it's very interesting, in this particular situation, you were developing the technical expertise or knowledge gap for which you then rounded out the team in order to reach their objectives. Very interesting. And I love the point about just finding where the gap is, and then that's where you can serve. Okay, that's beautiful. Let's keep going. Thank you.
And so when I came to Givaudan again, it was the same thing. It was, we had a bunch of very senior plant managers who knew what they were doing. Now, it would have been a waste of time if I tried to teach them or I tried to tell them how to run their plant, because they know it better than me. I'm never going to be as good as them in running a plant. So I started thinking about where do they need help. And I think they had a certain gap in trying to understand the big picture How do you connect the dots between supply chain and what they do? How do you bring the best practices from one side to the other? How do you structure a problem? So I started focusing my energies and attention on those aspects. And once the team realizes that you're trying to help them and not trying to be one up on them, it's a very different dynamic. The whole dynamics within the team changes. Then we all try to work with each other and help each other to be successful.
So that is, again, another way for finding the relevance. I really like the way you saw that in this particular situation. Obviously, you learn from your previous experience in the textile industry, but then moving forward, and again, the same principle, where is there a gap? In this particular situation, it presented itself that you have a number of subject matter experts when it comes to running a particular plant. And I'm sure you could kind of poke there and give them some suggestions, but you haven't gained the relevance. The bigger opportunity is to be able to look at the landscape and look at what are the synergies, what are the difference, where can I leverage resources, or to your point, where can we connect all the work that they're doing to the greater strategic cause of the organization? And I'll find that once you're able to present that, you start stimulating new ways of thinking and working together and bringing plant leadership together. So that's a really, really interesting perspective on what you can provide to an organization.
By doing that, you're also able to unleash the full power of your team. I have seen a number of leaders who become a bottleneck for the team's success because everything has to channel through that leader. Whereas in a servant leader model, you do two or three things. First, you gain a lot more engagement because everyone is growing in this process. So that automatically builds engagement. And secondly, you're able to multiply the effect. So you're actually releasing the full power of the organization towards the result.
So I've never heard this said before when I've talked to a number of leaders, but it's almost like it's igniting. It's igniting something from within. It's your being able to take that external perspective, look at the organization, ask certain questions, provide the bigger picture. And I've actually seen it in action where then you get that leadership engagement, even all in the same room. Sometimes it actually can be uncomfortable during the process when you get more energy, when you get more collaboration and people thinking more than just the business unit that they're in, you unleash, to your point, great energy and also tough energy as well. Because the more leaders that think they know it all, get it all in the room, that could be challenging as well. Very cool. Let's keep going.
Yeah. And you're right. It is very uncomfortable to begin with. In fact, one of the frequent difficulties that I've heard people express in the early part of this process of working together is that they are so used to the leader coming in and telling them what to do. But then the moment you start asking questions and try to build the path together, it is uncomfortable because you are probably changing the way you're doing things from one conversation to another until you are clear which way you want to go. And this process is often uncomfortable. So I've also heard a lot of people say, hey, I find this confusing. But I think once you get over the initial part of the engagement, then you start seeing the full power of what's possible in this model of working.
You know, that's really interesting because it really resonates with you. You're the expert, you come in, you're the vice president of operations, tell us what to do and we'll execute. And, you know, those of you who are listening that come from an operations background, again, when you get a well-oiled machine, you want operations to just fill the pipeline for supply chain. And so often we don't ask our leaders to think. But in this servant leadership role, when you engage them and ask them for their thoughts or challenge them with different thoughts, you're a change agent. You can actually make people feel uncomfortable. But for those that survive and understand what you're trying to do, it's an amazing thing to now see the conversations change with one-on-one with the individual leaders, but then also seeing the impact across the leadership in the region. So your way in approaching things is not necessarily unique, but it actually can cause a group of operations to perform at a much higher level. So beautiful here. So when we were just talking right now, were we talking about just your experience within the Asia region? Did anything change culturally, change your approach when you had to then take the same challenge and move it to another region? I'd love to know more.
Yeah, that's a great question. If anything, I would say that working in the American context was probably a lot easier. I think in a lot of societies and cultures in Asia tend to be a lot more hierarchical. So it takes a lot more time to break down some of those barriers of walking into a room and saying that when you're in a brainstorm, when you're having discussions about a topic, nobody has any stripes. It doesn't matter who you are in the organization, where you sit in the organization. Brainstorm is all about ideas. So it's a lot harder for folks in the more traditional managers in Asia to get that. I found that it was a lot easier in the American context. And at least in the industry that I've seen more in the US, I think that the flavor fragrance business is a more traditional business. So in the traditional business, a lot of the managers are not used to newer ways of working. So maybe there was a little bit of that barrier, but that's the same whether you're in Asia or whether you're in the US. So overall, I found that was having much greater impact with this approach here than in Asia.
Quite interesting. It's interesting how the same leadership techniques may actually take different amounts of effort or approaches depending across cultures and in what region. So I think that's some really great insight. So I'd love to take this in another direction. So servant leadership is how you show up and you serve the organization. But then during that process, there's people involved. You know, obviously we have certain objectives and goals to get certain supply chain out, service levels, quality, et cetera. But during that time, there's also individuals involved. And so one of the things that, you know, I've seen it in action, you're quite strong in the areas, you're really into coaching and individual leadership development. And so, you know, I'd love to know a little bit more where, you know, you think your thoughts in this area, because again, you got plant managers, they have a lot of pride in what they're doing, they're getting the results. But, you know, what are some challenges or some great moments where you've been able to coach people to better levels of performance?
So I think coaching is a very essential part of servant leadership. And I think for me, the investment in coaching leaders in the organization is very valuable, because each leader has maybe 5 to 7 individuals that they are directly working with and can influence. So if I'm able to effectively coach one plant manager, he or she is going to have a direct impact on 7 other people who are going to have an impact on maybe 7 to 10 more people. So this way, you really create a viral impact. It's a strange analogy to be using in these times, but that's exactly how the overall effort multiplies. So I feel that spending time in coaching managers or coaching leaders in the organization to be more effective in what they do has a much better payback in the long run. And it also builds bench strength. It also makes sure that there is a sustainable organization in whatever you're trying to do.
So I'm curious, you show great passion and strength in being able to be a strategic leader. I know we've been talking about servant leadership, but I've also seen you in action when it comes to strategic planning and working on very, very large projects and getting people to connect the dots to the greater cause and what we're trying to do. And then there's the element of coaching individuals for either improving their performance or leveraging their skills. Which is more challenging to you in terms of getting leaders to think more strategically or coaching individual performance?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if the question is either or. For a good leader, you need to have a good understanding of strategy. You need to have a good people leadership. And at the same time, you also need to be able to manage process. If you are weak in even one of those areas, then you're not going to get the results. So I think servant leadership in itself is not going to give you the results. You need to match that with a good vision and a good strategy on where you want to go. And you need to have your systems and process to follow through with everything that you're trying to do. So obviously, when I go back maybe another 5 or 10 years back, my time was probably spent a lot more in solving problems, being more strategic in the way I think. And as I've kind of developed my own skill set in coaching, I find that the people part of things, the coaching part, is so much more interesting, so much more challenging that I've kind of gravitated more towards that area. But I do spend time in the strategy piece as well. I'm beginning to find much more satisfaction and joy in the coaching piece.
Yeah, you know, I can agree with that wholeheartedly. I too have developed my craft in the areas of quality, continuous improvement, later food safety. And it's great to practice your craft, but I do find it can only get you so far in your career. And as I matured through my journey, I realized developing the humans and the people that are talented, that servant leadership under you and lifting them through helping them to navigate through understanding strategy, the big picture, how they deal with people, how they manage negotiation skills, influence, far more interesting. And to your point, the results, you get the immediate results and you get sustainable results because then they start performing at a different level. Very interesting on that one. You know, I do want to have a question for you. And again, how it's really something more of a question for myself, because understanding strategy and building strategic thinking comes natural to us people. And they don't really teach it unless you go on for higher education in business, MBA, et cetera. But, you know, not all leaders, plant managers, think strategically. How do you build that bench strength? How do you coach people to understand strategic planning and longer term thinking? I'm curious about your approach.
I'm probably going to say something controversial. I don't think everybody in the organization needs to be a strategist. By definition, a plant manager has to be dealing with a lot of the nitty-gritty stuff. So it is hard for them to take the time to be strategic. I've also seen that you can either be operating at a high level effectively or you can be operating at detail level effectively. It's almost impossible to do both at the same time, or very, very few people. I've never seen anyone who's able to do both at the same time because it requires a slightly different skill set. It's a bit like if you're climbing, if you're on the top of a mountain, then you have a certain view, but you're not going to be able to see what's under the tree. Whereas if you are standing on the ground, you're probably going to be able to see what's under the tree much more clearly than what's out in the horizon. So that's kind of the starting point, which is, I think, why as a leader, I need to be clear at my level what is it that I'm able to see that I need to get others to see as well. They don't have to necessarily be able to figure all these things out, but one of my skills as a leader is to be able to convey whatever I'm seeing to them in a way that they understand.
Absolutely. And making those connections to what is relevant day to day, week to week, month to month, keeping all of what they're doing and the big picture aligned.
Exactly. But the element of strategic thinking, if I may, that I would want the plant managers to have is at least to start thinking about what am I doing today and how does what I do today have an impact tomorrow and the day after. So I think that clearly is something that I like to have my plant managers have. And I think one of the challenges that I set for them always is that my job is to be two steps ahead of you. And I'm always challenging them to catch up to me and basically narrow the gap or try and get ahead of me. So that's a game that I try to play with plant managers.
You know, I've never heard it said that way. But, you know, it's also, if we go back to like lean methodology, it's always that pull method. You're always trying to pull them forward. And if you keep them focused on what did you do today that gets you to tomorrow and the next day and the next day, you know, I'll tell you, for entrepreneurs or business owners, sometimes you can also get very busy in the day to day. But I'll find that I will go to my strategic plan. What do I need to do today, this week, this month, in order to get to that goal by the end of the year? And if I can't check the box that it meets one of those criteria, I have to reassess, is this really important? So great insight, and I'll remember that. You're always trying to stay two steps ahead. So, Elijah, you're a very soulful, thoughtful, thought leader individual, but I really think there's one question I would like to ask you is that, you know, what you do and how you do it, I often wonder what inspires you. You know, what has inspired you over the years? Has there ever been an individual or a situation or groups of people or situations whereby you've been inspired to do the work that you're doing or how you do the work that you're doing now?
I derive inspiration from lots of sources. Clearly, inspiration from great leaders that I have worked with. And I think there was particularly one individual in my consulting days at McKinsey, my partner. I think I learned a lot from him about how you structure a problem and the patience with which he would walk us through the steps. So he's someone that had a big impact on me. There was another project manager that I was working with who had a lot of compassion in managing the project. So you learn from that. I also have learned from people working in my team there was this particular individual who was facing a very difficult situation in running a site and was struggling. And I was trying to help him. But in that interaction, though I was trying to help him and coach him, I also was extremely inspired by this person's dedication to what he was doing. He would be at the plant every day at 7 and work till 7 or 8 in the night, and again be back in the morning at 7 with full energy. And he wasn't making a whole lot of headway, but he still had that energy to keep coming back at the problem. So that to me was extremely inspiring. So a lot of people around me, I seek inspiration from. I also seek inspiration from religion. I'm not a religious person, but from the spiritual aspect of religion. So that's extremely inspiring. Stories that I read, people, great leaders who I have not had direct interaction with, but we read about them. So inspiration comes from all sources. I think fundamentally, it's really a desire to keep learning and to keep growing, which is what gets you to all these different places.
Thank you for sharing those thoughts with me. You know, I was, throughout my career, have always looked for that flamboyant person that when they walk in the room, they light up the room and they light up something inside of you. And you know what? That's probably my imagination. But, you know, I've come to realize through all these conversations with people like you, the people I've served as well, inspiration can be a collective. And if you're simply open to seeing the good work, in the first case, somebody was modeling great problem solving. Another one showed great compassion. Another showing complete dedication to the work they're doing despite maybe not getting results. Being open to seeing all of this can absolutely fuel the work and your compassion and dedication to the work that you do. So I really appreciate your perspective on that, and I appreciate that. Thank you. So as we bring this to a close, this has been a great conversation. I really enjoy it from the thought that standpoint that you're extremely thoughtful about how you want to serve others, the relevance, how you can earn their trust and be able to round out the gap so you can unleash the energy. It's absolutely beautiful and I love it. But is there any other thoughts that you would like to share with the listeners that are pretty important that you just want to make sure you get across before we bring this to a close?
I think overall, this was a great conversation for me. I was absolutely honest. I was very hesitant, or I wasn't sure how this was going to turn out. But I think to me, this was really good as a conversation. I think there is no shortcut to being a successful leader. Right? I think that's probably the one thing that I would want to talk about outside of everything that we said. It's a continuous process of learning and evolving. The day it stops, the day you stop learning, the day you stop wanting to learn, I think that's probably the day that you should stop doing whatever you're doing and move on to something else.
Beautifully said. And thank you for those words. There's nothing that could top that right now. I sincerely appreciate this conversation and opportunity to really talk very, I don't know, relevant level. I think that your sincerity and the way that you deliver the message and your thoughtfulness about how you serve others is quite relevant for this time and age. Being the smartest person in the room, having the most power, the best resume is not necessarily the leader that you want to serve others. So thank you for your time. If people wanted to connect with you after this conversation, how best can they reach you?
They can reach me, send me a message on LinkedIn, and I'll respond.
All right, wonderful. Well, listen, you've had a fantastic career. I wish you continued success in your servant leadership and influencing others. It's been truly a pleasure, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Deb. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.